Hey, we are here with Chris Stokes. He's the original member of the Jamaican bobsled team.
Yes.
You had a fantastic presentation in there. I just really enjoyed it. My initial question, though, is whose idea was this to begin with? I mean, was it your brother's idea?
No, so it wasn't our idea. It was George Fitzwilliam Maloney, two Americans who were working in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. They saw what they call a pushcart derby, which is like this carrot on wheels that, you know, youngsters push downhill and race downhill. And said, that looks like bobsledding. And they came up with the idea and essentially put the team together themselves. So, you know, you can blame it on Appleton, Roman, and Red Stripe, but it certainly wasn't a rational and reasonable thing to do, but it was done, and here we are.
But, you know, I remember when all that happened. I'm sure a lot of people in the audience did too, but I had a sense of feeling that the whole world was cheering for you guys. Did you have that sense, or were you guys so removed from that at the time?
No, it was very clear to me, and this is before we had, you know, things could go viral. The think about that, this is 1988.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we had none of the tools that you could have to send things viral, but we went viral in an almost analog way. And this is how I learned that. I got to the Olympic Village the first time, and I was going out to get something to eat, and I had on my Olympic jacket.
Yeah.
It says Jamaica. My brother said, don't wear it. And I said to him, look, it's a nice jacket. I like to wear it. It's cold outside.
Yeah.
Put on my jacket, went outside, jumped on the train, and I did not get to the first stop. I was mobbed. I mean, people were running on the plane, jumping all over me, trying to tear off my jacket. So I went back and stayed inside and ate in the Olympic Village because, you know, I did not grasp how popular the team was, mm-hmm, and the raw emotional support around it. So that's how I learned that particular experience.
Okay, the really cool thing about this story is really the backstory here. What you were involved in at the time, you were going to school and you had scholarships, all this type of stuff. Not a lot of people know about this type of stuff.
No, I was going to school. I watched the opening ceremonies of the Olympics on TV from my dorm room in Pullman, Washington. I was in my MBA at Washington State University. I had no intention of myself being involved in the sport. And my brother called me up, and I thought I was going to watch, and I ended up being in the race, you know, which is a sort of a record within a week.
With a few days later, I mean,
with a few days, you know, so I saw bobsleigh for the first time on the Monday, and by the Saturday morning, I was at the start of an Olympic Games. And that's the sort of thing that didn't make it into cool runnings, of course.
5 days later, you're competing in the Olympics.
5 days later, competing in the Olympics.
That's amazing.
That's right.
All right. Now, the heart of your talk were the three lessons learned that you gained from your parents and your grandfather.
Yeah.
So can you go over those real quick, number one?
The first thing from my father is to follow your calling wherever it may take you. He did that when he left Jamaica as a missionary to go to the Turks and Caicos Islands. I did that when I wanted to run and wanted to bobsleigh, even though it would seem that, you know, it's time to do something else, maybe just go to school and get a job.
Right.
But my calling was to do that, and I pursued it. The other thing is to be careful how you curse your misfortune. That's something I learned from my mother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so often in life, things happen and we say, oh, this is horrible. You know, my mother was sick when she was pregnant with me, and she had to come to Jamaica to have, she was sick living in the Turks and Caicos, had to come to Jamaica to have me. But it turns out that if she wasn't sick, which she cursed, then I would be born in the Turks and the Caicos, and I would have died shortly. So the fact that she was sick there, had to go to Jamaica, and that, mm-hmm, I was born in Jamaica, it gave me a chance. So be careful how you curse your misfortune. I think about when we crashed in 1988, and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
It was humiliating. It was this massive failure. It would have been easier to curse that misfortune. But we kept going, and within 6 years, by 1994, we were one of the best teams in the world. So that's the second most important lesson. But finally, and perhaps the most important lesson to me, I learned from my grandfather, who, while I was sick, was setting up to actually bury me in a shoebox, as I told. But I wasn't dead. And sometimes, you know, even when your dreams and your ambitions are wounded and ailing, and they have the one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel, you have to find a way to keep going, you know, and I have that slider, you know, don't quit, just do it, you know, and, mm-hmm, it's something, it is really the deciding factor. So my entire talk was built around those 3 points, those three early lessons, you know, and I talk about learning best what we learn first, and that has colored actually my entire life and everything that I've
Let's talk about that. I mean, post-Olympics. What have you been doing late? I mean, you are post-Olympics. Very successful, yes. Speaking circuit, all the nine yards.
Yes, so post-Olympics, I did a BSc in finance at the University of Idaho. I did an MBA in finance at Washington State University. And then I moved to Jamaica and worked for this building society. It's a mutual organization, mm-hmm. sort of a cousin to the credit union movement. I'm focusing on home ownership, and I started there as an assistant vice president and left there as a senior vice president. And that really gave me an understanding of the importance of financial services in making people's mm-hmm. lives better, because we're helping people get their homes, and that was very inspiring.
Huge,
and
yeah.
During that time, I did a postgraduate diploma in banking at the American Bankers Association, Estonia School of Banking. Then I went to National Commercial Bank as general manager for the International Business Division, the largest commercial bank in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a couple of years there, and then I was missing the feeling of doing something that was helping people. I was too disconnected, so I left and started my own financial services business with the explicit purpose of helping people improve their lives through financial services, and I'm doing, you know, the bill payments and remittances and, you know, wealth creation from just saving towards wealth creation and those kinds of things. And in the meantime, I'm on the cusp of completing my PhD at the University of the West Indies in economic development policy. And I'm looking specifically at leadership style and its impact mm-hmm. on the stability of financial institutions. And there's a relationship there because I believe in leadership, you know. And in between all of that, I don't say that I'm a professional speaker, professional motivational speaker, but I get invited to do things and I come and I speak and I share my experiences that I have lived and that I continue to live. And hopefully it has a positive impact on people's lives.
Well, you're a great example of, you know, hitting huge milestones in your life. You know, I mean, Olympics, how much bigger does it get than that?
Yes.
But you're continuing to learn and move forward and do things for people. I mean, you just never stop. That's kind of what I get from you.
Yes. And I think, you know, your mission is very important and sort of a, you know, I believe in living from purpose and living intentionally, not mm-hmm. just making money or say, okay, I have a job, you know. Yes, you have a job, but what are you doing with your job? And you know what? And even after you reach a goal, you're still alive, and you still have more to give. You still have more to give to your world, you know, to the world. I mean, I have, you know, friends who are now past retirement age, and they're sitting at home, and I'm saying, look, you're only just beginning. You know, what are you going to? What's the next chapter?
Yeah.
Take out the pen and write. You know, pen and paper and write the next chapter. And I've seen, you know, a lot of people re-engage life with purpose as time goes by, and it's something that I'd encourage, because it's really expressing yourself on the mm-hmm. earth, as opposed to mm-hmm. a job to buy the house, to send the skilled kids to school, to afford retirement. It's a purpose-driven approach to living.
No doubt. Wrap-up question here for you, because I know you got a busy schedule today. Mm-hmm. How did that whole Olympics experience shape who you are today? Because, I mean, you went through a lot of trials and tribulations when you were younger, and then going through the whole Olympic thing, the highs and lows. How does that shape you to who you are today?
Well, the first thing is that this is what I'm known for. So, I mean, people see me on the streets and hear my name. Weren't you part of the Jamaica bobsleigh team? And I've learned to accept and to love that. But, you know, there are certain lessons I learned from bobsleigh. First of all, you know, when you, as easy as something may seem to you from a distance mm-hmm. and as good as you think you may be, it's important to humble yourself and to learn new things. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Not because I was a superstar sprinter meant that I could come into bobsleigh and be a prima donna. I had to go to the back of the line and start over and start to learn. You know, I also learned that, you know, you don't undersell yourself. It's intimidating when you're from Jamaica and you're among, you know, Swiss and German and Italian sledders with 100 years experience in the mm-hmm. sport. You start to feel, maybe I don't belong here. And that's something you have to overcome, because God put you on the earth. You belong everywhere and you do everything. The earth is your oyster. And perhaps the single most important thing is to be able to take a punch to the gut and to feel like you want to quit, and to maybe entertain the thought of quitting for a quick minute. But you know what? You get back up, you get back in the fight, you get back in the sled, you get back in training, and you keep going. And that is very important. And the interesting thing is that all the benefits of living and life are not from the end point. It's not from the end game. It's from the process. Mm-hmm. So I've learned as we go along to enjoy the process and to strengthen myself from the process and to try to help other people as they go along through these difficult times and through that process as well.
That is a great message to end on. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank
it was a pleasure
much.
Listening to
thank
you in
you
there.
Very much.
And
thank you.
Keep up the good work. All right, man?